Okay. Okay, so we left off with the Ramban trying to clarify the situation if b'dieved the Edom testified while sitting, or b'dieved the Bali Din were sitting while they received the Gemar Din, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or B'shas Maso Matan, according to the Chachamim, as well as if the Bali Din, you know, or if the Dayanim had to stand during the Shas Gemar Din. So these are all a little bit up in the air. We pointed out, and the Ramban has a Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim said that even b'dieved, if the Edom didn't stand, it doesn't count for anything. And they have a very good raya from the Gemara in Zvachim. Gemara in Zvachim says that yeshiva is psulei edus. It makes a person psulei edus when a person is b'yeshiva. They're trying to bring a raya that if a person does the avoda b'yeshiva, so the avoda is psul. That's what the Mishnah says. And they said, that should be a kal v'chomer onto a zor who does the avoda. And they said, no. It's not a raya, because yeshiva is more strict, because if an aid would give testimony be yeshiva, he would be pasul. So that shows you that yeshiva is very strict, and if you're sitting when you're supposed to be standing, it's a really big deal. Mashen ken, maybe a zar doing the avoda would not be as big of a deal. Right? So that was the Gemara's cheshbon over there. But what comes out for us is it seems as if that yeshiva is a psul v'dieved. Although the Gemara in Zvachim acknowledges that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to be yeshiva. Talmud Chacham is allowed, just like our Gemara says over here, Talmud Chacham is allowed to be yeshiva. The Gemara later on says, Asay de Kavod HaTorah Adif, that the Asay of Kavod HaTorah somehow outweighs the mitzvah of Amdu Shnei HaAnash. Now, the Ramban, in his response, let's read it inside, says, V'lo nira kein. I don't agree. Does not appear that way. If you're going to say that b'dieved sitting is okay, now I understand why Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit. Right? Because of the Seik of the Torah. Eli Yamrit Dieved Nami Eni Dusan Edus. If you're going to say that when they're sitting, b'dieved, it's still no good. Talmud Chacham Eich Moshivin Oso. V'im Yishum Asay Dikvod HaTorah L'Yod Klal. So saying, or not L'Yod Klal, but yes, it's not a question, sorry, it's a statement. Saying, if you're going to say, the Asay of Kavod HaTorah is so important, Talmud Chacham should be allowed to sit. No, he can't sit because he's Pasleinus while sitting. Kavod HaTorah says, let him not come to Beis Din. Him not coming to Beis Din is essentially the same thing as giving Pasul testimony in Beis Din. Rather not show up at all and not have to do something which is inherently wrong than just, you know, and just not show up, and we won't have the edus in the first place. Elishma mina d'yeved kosher. You see clearly from our Gemara that it's kosher b'dieved to give edus while sitting. V'chim bali dinim shas gemar din. Right? Nami d'yeved dinam din. If the bali din sit during the Gemara Din, of course, it works. Also, if the Dayanim stand while the Edim are testifying, even though it's supposed to be the Edim ba'amido ba'alidinim of the Dayanim yeshiva, if the Dayanim stand, that's okay too. Right? So he says that it's a Beferish Yerushalmi in Perek Dalet Misos. Why? Because Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omer Mikan L'Dayanim Shekiblu Edusan Omdin Shedin Omdin. We know that if the Dayanim are standing B'Shas Hagadus Edus, that it's still going to be a good judgment. Why? Miditznan V'Adayanim Omdin Maraglim V'Korin V'Lo Ma'achin. Because in what case are they talking about over there? The Megadif, right? The Megadif is a person who curses Hashem, right? Generally speaking, we don't use the term; we call it Birkas Hashem, right? So the person violates Birkas Hashem, and you can't have the Edim testify, because they're going to have to repeat what that curse was, which is their own Isser of Megadev, meaning the guy kills somebody else. So the Eidim can get up there and say, we saw Ploni stab Ploni right through the heart. They don't have to get up there and stab somebody. But in this case, they have to repeat what the curse was, because the Dayanim have to know, was it worthy of a Chiyuv Misa or not? And therefore, they have to say it. So the Mishnah really, and the Gemara has a whole procedure as to how they go about saying it. Did you guys do this year? Yeah, okay, so you know better than me what the procedure is, and basically when they would repeat, when they would hear those words, what would the Dayanim do? They would stand up and they would tear Kriya, right? They would tear tearing, and they would it's a Yiddish also, it's a rice Kriya, is the same thing, it's the tear Kriya. It's one of those things that we say. So they would tear Kriya, and they would not, it was the type of Kriya that you would never be allowed to sew it back up. Right? So that's the din over there. But what do you see? That Bishas, Hagodas Eidus, even though Dayanim are supposed to be Yeshiva, in this case they have to be Bamida, and yet the din is still valid. They're still obviously going to put the Megadev to death if they find that that's the Maskana. So says the Ramban, it's a very strong Raya, that the Dayanim are allowed to stand. Now, if you're weighing strength of proof, it's not nearly as good, except for the fact that Reish Lakish comes along and says, we see from here that the Dayanim who are Mekabel Eidus while they're standing, so that is still a good din. So that's, I don't know if that's really a great Raya for the Eidus, meaning it doesn't really contradict the Gemara and Tzvachim in the sense that we say that a person who's sitting is Pasul Eidus. I don't think in other words, if you're holding it's a din in the Eidus, so then the Dayanim standing or sitting shouldn't make or break the Eidus. But nevertheless, it's important to keep in mind that we said in the Gemara, the Eidim have to be Ba'amida, Dayanim have to be Yeshiva, and so too we said the Balei Din have to be Yeshiva, or Ba'amida, and the Dayanim have to be Yeshiva. So you see, none of this is really Ma'akev B'dieved. That's the Ramban's goal over here. Right, and along the same lines of the Ramban, the best perhaps the best way to phrase it is what the Ran says in the Dapi Arif. The Ran writes, says, I wrote down the Lashon because I liked it. Where is it here? Right, so the Ran uses a Lashon. He says, V'chi machshirina an edus pasol mishum kvod haTorah? What? You're going to tell me that Lamashal, some guy, he's very, very learned. He's a very learned guy. And he comes to Beis Din to testify. And then what happens is that Nebuch, you know, there are people from every walk of life who fall victim to certain addictions. So the two Eidim get up there and they testify that this guy is he might be a great Talmud Chacham, but he's also a compulsive gambler. So he gambled away all his family's money, and he violated Geneva because of it, and he's a Masachik Bakuvya, he's in Osikbi, right? You guys know this sugya probably from the air, right? He's in Osikbi Yeshuva Shal Olam at all. All he does nowadays is just gamble. And, you know, he's pasul. Pasul midaraisa for the Gneva, pasul midarabanim for the gambling, and forget about it. He's completely pasul. But he's such a gavaldik, a Talmud Chacham. He really, like, you know, every minute he's not gambling, he's learning. And he really, you know, he knows so much Torah, and it's really, you know, we should just be machshir the Eidus, okay? Eidus is kosher. It would be a disgrace to say, like, the guy is such a Talmud Chacham, we're not going to accept his Eidus. How could it be? Right? I say the Kavanah Torah Adif. I'll do you one better. Right? What did we say from Tosfos in the beginning of the summer? Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen. Right? Come on. Can't get better Kavanah Torah than that. So the two brothers, they come to testify. I say the Apostle Eidus. I say the Kavanah Torah Adif. Impossible. That would ruin all these rules that we have. You're just going to say, I say the Kavanah Torah Adif. Says the Ran, it's impossible that you're going to be machshir edus psula because of the Yaseid HaKavanah Torah. Okay, and the big raya that the Ramban has is from the statement of Reish Lakish that we see here when they stand up to tear Kriya, that that we see that that it's still good b'di'evid, that even the dayanim are b'amida. Okay, the Rashba has a nice raya. Also, in the two Talmidim of the Ramban here, we have the Rashba and the Ritva, they each add a little bit of a raya on their own, so it's nice to see all three. So Lashon of the Rashba, Vani, Yesh Biyadi Raya, says the Rashba, Mifuresh is Mad Shomer, we get in Perik, Misha Achsor Kredikis. Right, so normally speaking, I remember when I was in Rosh Hashir, we started the year, I was learning full time at that point, and we learned first, you know, in the morning Seder we did the sixth parak in Gittin, and went through the sixth through the ninth, I think. So we did the sixth parak, and then we got to the seventh parak. Rosh Hashanah said we're not doing the first couple of blot of Mishach, so it's not. He just said quickly, the Rambam writes that you're not allowed to rely on any of the refuah satalmud. It's basically all these different ailments and the Talmudic wisdom as to how to cure these ailments. So it comes up because the only reason it comes up is because it says the case is Misha Achso Quirdicus. This person has this disease called Quirdicus, which he got it from drinking too much, but eventually he needs to be cured of this ongoing disease. And they have these ideas what to do about it. But question is, what's he supposed to do about writing a get? So that's why it comes up in seventh parak. Gittin. Everything else in the seventh parak is, you know, much more Gittin related. So we skip the first couple of blot. He says the Rambam holds that anybody who relies on the refuas haTalmud is a poshea gamur, and he's chayef to pay complete malpractice, and that's the halacha for these two blot. But lemaisa, we do have a couple of important halachas that do come out, and the Rashba is pointing to one of them. That a person who has Quirdicus, he has this disease, that he's in very bad shape. So you do a bedika for certain things. One of those things is, can he do Eidus? And what does Yerushalmi say over there? So it's a similar Yerushalmi to what the Ramban had. He says, Zoso meres me'idin miyushav. You see from here that the Eidim can be b'yeshiva. Right? Why? Because we're assuming, says Rish Lakish, that a guy who's sick with Quirdicus, he cannot come to Beis Din to testify. Why not? He can't even get out of bed. He can't even get out of bed. So how could it be that this guy's going to stand up to give his Eidus when he's so sick? So it must be that he gives his Eidus lying down, maybe he sits up, but Lamaisa, he definitely doesn't stand. Definitely doesn't stand. So you see, Araya Mefureshes, says the Rashba, that you're allowed to give the Eidus b'di'eved b'yeshiva. And he says, and then again, he gives the same teretz as the Ramban, must be that the Gemara in Zvachim was talking about pasul l'chadchila. Again, you don't like to put those words together. You don't like to put the word pasul and l'chadchila together. Right? You want to have mitzvah l'chadchila. First of all, in general, you see a tremendous idea that when we normally have a concept of l'chadchila b'di'eved, where does that concept usually, what does it usually mean in a case? I'll say, l'chadchila, you should do X, b'di'evet, if you didn't do it, okay, still yotze. Right? What does that usually mean? Well, that is what it means. But I mean, like, why is there a l'chadchila? Why is there a b'di'evet?
But you can't always try to do
it. Yeah, but where does the l'chadchila come from? L'chadchila, right, I'll give you one example. L'chadchila, your esrog should have no dots on it. B'di'evet, if it has certain dots that don't passel, so it's still good. Right, so that we call hider mitzvah. It's a hider mitzvah to do it, right? But there are most cases will say, l'chadchila, you're supposed to do it one way. Why? Because there's a mitzvah midrabanan to do it that way. B'di'evet, if you didn't do it, meaning you can be somech on the deraisa. What? It's not a get. Not every derabanan is a getter. There's a mitzvah sasei midrabanan, or there's a halacha midrabanan to do it this way. Okay, b'di'evet, if you didn't do it the way the rabbanan wants, so you're still yotzi min hatur. The rabbanan were only misakin this way of doing it on a l'chadchila level, but they also agreed that b'di'evet, if you got into that scenario, so then it's still kosher. Right? Most cases that we say that are b'di'evet are really, you start with a chumra midrabanan, and then you end with the bare bones d'oraisa. Sometimes you start with a chumra midrabanan, you end with the bare bones midrabanan. But usually it's din d'rabanan that we're mechali between the chadchilas and the b'di'evets. It's not so common that we have lechatchilas in b'diavad min haTorah. You have such a thing, as we'll see. Right? We'll see when we do the sugya of Kavod HaBrias, we'll bring in the Gemara Mishnah and Zvachim, where they talk about lechatchila. Well, for example, I'll just give you the idea, but we have, so it comes up from time to time. We have lechatchila, when you have a karban chatas, you're supposed to place the dam on all four corners of the mizbeach, all four sides of the mizbeach, right? B'di'eved, if you only did one, you're still yotze. Right? That's an example on a deraisa level. You have lechatchila versus b'di'eved. Right? So there are cases, but generally speaking, that's not the way lechatchila b'di'eved works. There is the din d'oraisa, and that's it. Right? So he's saying that there's a mitzvah to do edus. There's a mitzvah to give edus. There's another mitzvah to stand while you give edus. Right? So it sounds from these Rishonim that what are you doing when you give edus be yeshiva? You're still doing the mitzvah of giving edus, but what aren't you doing? You're not doing this other mitzvah to stand. So if you look at it that way, that's like kind of like a separate inyan. So okay, I understand how you can have a lechatchila versus b'di'evad on a d'oraisa level. But you have such a thing. You see it in the Ran. And it's funny, I don't know what to say about this Ran, because there is a... It looks like they tried to take it out of the Ran. Right? The Ran, on Yedal Ad Min Aleph over here, it's like the fifth, sixth wide line. Ule'inyan halacha b'machlokes Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan kaimel anka Rabbi Yehuda shimratzu bezin lahoshiv eshneim moshivin. Right? And then he says, Deleisa la'amidas dayanin midaraisa ela midarabbanan mishum tzatim ta'anasa. Right? Says, there's no real din min haTorah. You know, it's rather midarabbanan mishum istatim tanasa. Really, the whole din of Rabbi Yehuda is just a chashash. The whole din of Amida is just a chashash that we're going to be mistatim tanoseyem shel bali din. But really, mikra din, there's no chiyuv whatsoever. So when you read ba'andu shnei anashim, so it's really, what's the emphasis? Which word do you put? You have the word ba'andu shnei anashim. Which word gets the emphasis? Right, so shnei, right? Both of them have to do whatever he does, he does. Whatever he does, he does. As opposed to, according to Chachamim, it's va'amdu. Everybody has to stand, right? So it's a question of how you look at it. Midirabbanan, we also said, Mishaskim Ardin, they should stand. Mishaskim Godes Edus, right? But Me'ikar Adin, there's no reason whatsoever for them to stand. If you have the Hagos on the side, I always forget, what does the Hagos Mem Alfiyud stand for? It's not Me'erat Yisrael. What does it stand for over there, the Hagos? I don't remember either. But you have the Hagos. I always jokingly just call it the Hagos Me'er Tishrael, but I assume that's not actually what it stands for. So you have the Hagos over here. It says Kol Zeh Mukaf. You should put that in parentheses. That statement that it's only midirabbanan, meaning we don't find that in the other Rishonim who agree with the Ran. That lechatchila you have to stand, but the evidence okay if you don't. But none of them come right out and say that's because the whole thing is midirabbanan, right? What I think lechora the way the Ran is understanding is twofold. Number one, whoever heard of lechatchilas and b'di'evads by d'oraisa? So obviously there are plenty of examples, but they're not. It's not common. It's not common that we find such a thing. And number two, he has a better way to learn Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, what? Rabbi Yehuda had a comment. Rabbi Yehuda said, "I agree with you. There is such a pasuk. V'am dushnei anashim. What do you do with it? Right? Mitzvah lebaladin shiyamdu. Am Rabbi Yehuda shamati shim ratzul oshiv v'shnei moshiv and ezu aser shloi echad omer v'echad yoshiv v'echad medaber kol tzorka v'echad omer lok tzor dvarecha." Meaning, I also have a way to learn that pasuk. Right? I also have a way to learn v'am dushnei anashim. What is it? That they both have to do the same thing. So don't tell me that it means they have to stand just b'shas gemar din. And it also means that they have to stand b'shas agodas edus. That's not true. Min ha-Torah, all it means is that they both have to do the same thing. You can't favor one over the other. You hear what I'm saying? So I think the Ran has a very strong leg to stand on, but we know for a fact that's not how the other Rishonim are learning. Could be it wasn't the way the Ran was learning either, but it does come up in the Sma. In Choshen Mishpat, Siman Yud Zayin, Sifkat and Hay. He says, I'll read it, I have it on the sheet. So he quotes all the Rishonim who say that L'chadchila, they're supposed to stand b'di'evet, it's not Mahakev. And then he says, that's what the Ran says, B'shem Rashba, V'kosvu, D'haikra, D'va'amdu, Eino el asmachta l'mitzvah v'lo l'ikuv. So I never found that Lashon exactly, but he's paraphrasing. He's saying that the Rishonim say that that pasuk is an asmachta ba'alma. That pasuk is an asmachta ba'alma. It's not ma'akiv. So, again, we don't find that. We don't find that, as far as I can tell. So whether or not the Ran held, you know, I don't know what you want to do with that Haggah in the Ran, but whether or not the Ran held that the whole pasuk was only midrabanan, okay, there's what to say. It's hard to argue with something that it actually says on the page. So you can see the Ran says it's derabanan. Okay, fine. I hear the time. The Sma likes that. The Sma then wants to take that sheet and run with it and say that's what all the Rishonim say. But I mean, it's clear that that's not what all the Rishonim say. How do we know that that's not what all the Rishonim say? Because look how Tosfos and the Ritva, they all stand on their head to try to figure out how's Rabbi Yehuda reading the Psukim. I'll tell you how Rabbi Yehuda's reading the Psukim. As an asmachta ba'alma, he doesn't care. He just, you know, he thinks the whole standing thing is just a din d'rabbanan anyway. He can read the psukim any way he wants, right? So clearly, the fact that the Ritva says, how Rabbi Yehuda reads the psukim v'amnu shnei anashim? Oh, must be dafka b'shas hagodas edus in it. Hagodas edus is kimar din, and therefore we see halachas from that, right? The Ritva learns out from that that not only did the edim have to stand, but also the bali dinim have to stand. So it can't be that he's talking on a derabbanan level. Like, it would be nice to inform us at some point, by the way, all of this is just an intellectual exercise because Rabbi Huda doesn't really read the psukim anyway. Right? We don't have such a thing. Tosfos has a couple of other, you know, more less complicated possibilities. How's Rabbi Huda reading the psukim? What do you mean, how's Rabbi Huda reading the psukim? He's not. Elamai, it's clear that at least these Rishonim don't understand that Rabbi Yehuda is saying a din midrabanan. He's saying that there is a lechachila and a bidyeved midaraisa. So the simplest way to understand the lechachila bidyeved midaraisa is there is a separate mitzvah of v'amdu shnei anashim. There's a separate mitzvah of v'amdu shnei anashim. If you don't fulfill that mitzvah, okay, so you didn't fulfill it. That doesn't passel the din, doesn't passel the edus. It just, it is what it is. You like to do all the mitzvahs you can. Sometimes you can't do it. Problem is, it would be nice if somebody said that, first of all. It's always nice when you have conjecture that then gets backed up by actual words in the Rishonim. And that's not what they say. Number two, the other problem is that the Rambam and the Ran and the other later Rishonim that follow seem to pick up on this, and this is the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch, say that nowadays, what do we do? What do we do nowadays, guys? Everybody sits. Everybody sits. No problem. Why? We like avoiding machlokas. Let me ask you a question. If you go to, a regular yeshivisha or a regular modern Orthodox Ashkenaz shul, what aliyah does everybody want? Shlishi. Shlishi is a chashav aliyah, right? Or let's say there's a chashav, a different aliyah. You want to get az yashir, you want to get a saras adibros. Right? Everybody wants that aliyah. So sometimes there's machlokes. Before the fact, after the fact. Right? Sometimes there's an auction. Sometimes there's no auction. Whatever it is. You go to Rebbe Shishul, you go to Chassidus Shtibul, What aliyah does everybody want? Shishi, right? Everybody wants shishi. So, okay, so let's say the Rebbe is not there. Can't give the Rebbe shishi. So again, big machlokas. Who's going to get shishi? So I have a very simple suggestion. No more shishi. No more shlishi. Just get rid of it. It's always going to be machlokas. Right? What is a chiyuv d'oraisa to have seven aliyahs? Right? It's like, it'll be like I don't know if they still do it in hotels. They all skip the 13th floor. Right. What? Okay, any hotel that was built more than 30 years ago, let's say, they skip the 13th floor. So we'll all skip the third aliyah in Ashkenazi, in Nusach Ashkenaz, and we'll skip the sixth aliyah, and we'll just go straight to Shvi. You got a lane seven aliyahs on Shabbat? No. It's a din d'oraisa, you got a lane seven aliyahs on Shabbat? No din d'oraisa. He says, Mibnei Machlokas. Right? I don't know, I'm not a statistician, but I would imagine the statistics on the amount of debates that happened in Klal Yisrael because of who was getting Shlishi or Shishi outweigh the amount of debates that happened at a Din Torah because some guy thought he was too big of a Talmud Chacham to be made to stand. I'm guessing. Yeah, it's a non-scientific statement. Right? And yet, Mitzvah Doraisa. Yeah, get rid of it. No problem. The big 612, we got them, right? Mitzvah derabbanan. What are you, a Reformed Jew? You're going to tell, no, what, next? You're going to tell me that we got to take out all references to Tzion and you're not allowed to mention Yimos HaMashiach anymore? Like, what's going on here? We would never do it. It would never happen. I'm a bnei machlokes. Hashem hates machlokes. It's true, he does, but... He likes mitzvos. We're not necessarily chucking mitzvos d'oraisa because it might lead to machlokes. So it's very hard to just say, how do we come to l'chachila b'di'evid by v'am d'shnei anashim? Because v'am d'shnei anashim is a mitzvah mid'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa. You're not mekayim that particular din. Okay, so you're not mekayim that din. You're mekayim the other dinim. So is that really how it works? You could say such a thing, but again, it gets a little fishy once you just say that we're chucking a mitzvah midoraisa completely so people don't argue with one another about how chashav they are or they aren't. Because there are plenty of areas in Jewish life where people think they're more chashav than they are, or they think someone else is less chashav than he is, and he deserves this and he doesn't deserve that. I'm saying you'd have to chuck every single mitzvah that could possibly lead to machlokas in these areas, and we don't do such a thing. Elamai, the pashtus in this entire debate, or at least in terms of the din, where we say that lechatchila the edim should be ba'amida, and b'di'eved they should be b'yeshiva, is that it's not a din in the edim testifying, and it's not a din in the bali dinim being makabel the gemar din. It's a din in kavod for the dayanim. It's a din and kavod for what? I mean, dayanim are very, very chashuv. Right? Say, what do we say? We say, we refer to the dayanim as Elohim. They're, we call them, the same thing we call a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we call them. It's Lashem Chol, but still, it's not everybody gets to be. You're one of three individuals. You're either Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bechvod of Atzmo, you're an Avodah Zara, or you're a Dayan. Those are your choices. If you want to be Elohim, so you can be Avodah Zarah Adayin. If you want to be Elohim, you're God. But either way, it's a very chash of a name. And we give the Dayanim the shame Elohim. Not only that, but we say, right, that Kol Dayan Jadan Din Emes Lamito Nasa Shutav LaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bracious. Right? These are chash of a thing. It's very important what these Dayanim are doing, right? You realize that this is something very, very special. And therefore, we want to give these people a tremendous amount of kavod. And that explains also, when the Rambam discusses the din of standing for the Eidim. So where would he put such a din? I mean, where should he put the din? Not where it does. What? Hilchos Eidus, right? According to the Ran's Lashon. According to the Ran's Lashon, he says, are we machshir Eidus puzzle in order to make a din and kavod Torah? So clearly we're saying it's kosher edus versus pasul edus, right? So what do we have? So the Rambam should put it in Hilchos Edus. He doesn't put it in Hilchos Edus. He puts it in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Why? Because this is not a din in the Edim or the Edus. This is a din in Beis Din. It's a din in the procedures of the Beis Din. And this goes back to what we were saying yesterday, that the Chachamim hold against Rabbi Yehuda that any time there is a Beis Din procedure, right? Doesn't have to be an official Maisa Beis Din. Anytime the Beis Din undergoes an official procedure, whether it's Bishas Maso Matan, whether it's Bishas Kabbalah Seidus, right? And obviously including Shas Gemar Din, etc., there's a mitzvah to stand. Why is there a mitzvah to stand? Like, how could that such a weird machlokas? Think about it. What would the machlokas be? Minakotze el akotze. You hear where I'm going with this? Think about it. The Chachamim hold, the litigants have to stand the whole time. Everything that goes on, they stand. The Edim have to stand the whole time that they're testifying. And then comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, no. The Edim only have to stand Mishas Agadas Edus, and the litigants only have to stand Mishas Gemar Din. Why? Well, because it's a din in Edus? It's a din in the litigants? That means that the Chachamim hold, clearly the Chachamim hold that it's a din in the covet of the Beis Din or a covet of the din itself. Why? Because they have them standing the whole time. It's not a din in Masul Matan. It's not a din in making time. It's not a din in giving edus. It's a din in everything. It's a din in the case. It's a din in the court case, whether you want to say it's covered to the Dayanim, covered to the din itself. Lamaisa, that's clear from the Shitas Chacham. Then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and argues, no. It's a totally different thing than what you think. It is only B'shas Hagadas Edus. It's only B'shas Gemar Din. Why? Because it's a din in the Edim. It's a din in the litigants. That makes it an even bigger machlokas. Generally speaking, you don't want to make it a machlokas minakotze l'akotze unless it has to be. Here, I don't think it has to be. I think it's much more mistaber to say they both agree that it's a din in kavod for the dayanim or for the din. And the only shaila is, what things are they chayav to be mechabed? How official does the ma'isa bezin have to be? So we said yesterday, if it's just for the even, according to the Chachamim, it even includes the Tachsisei Bezdin, includes all the procedures and the give and take, etc. So the Chachamim hold, you give kavod kol zman that they're doing anything which is essential to bringing forth a proper din, which is hopefully most of the things that go on in a court case. You're chayev to be mechabed them b'amida. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You're not mechabed the tachsisei bezdin. You're only mechabed the maisa bezdin. You're only mechabed those essential procedures that are mentioned in the Torah as official. Everything else is a hechitimtza to reach that. But they do agree that the whole thing is a din and giving kavod to the dayanim and giving kavod to the bezdin. And now we can understand very simply why a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit. Because, yes, there is a mitzvah to mechabed dayanim, and you might even think that there's a mitzvah, it's a bigger mitzvah than kavod haTorah. The answer is no, actually kavod haTorah is adif. Kavod haTorah is adif. They're clashing. So you could come back to, we're going to have to talk more about this in a few days, but you can come back to what we were saying from the Turi Evan. Turi Evan said that when you have a mitzvah that's nitan l'mechila, so you should try to be mochel. So who's going to be mochel now? Is it a disgrace to the dayanim, or is it a disgrace to the Talmud Chacham? So for whatever reason, the phrase of kavod haTorah adif is telling us that the kavod haTorah, it would be a bigger disgrace to the kavod haTorah for them to be mochel and for them to have to stand there than it would be for the dayanim. The dayanim can let them sit, right? Or you could say further, that for the Dayanim to sit and the Bali Dinim to sit, is that a disgrace? It's just not covered, right? It would be more of a covedic for the Bali Dinim and the Edim to stand and the Dayanim to sit. It's not so of a covedic for the Dayanim to have to stand, obviously, but L'maisa, at the end of the day, better that the Dayanim allow their mochel and their kavod and allow the Talmud Chacham to sit, because that way they're showing kavod to the Torah and they're not disgracing themselves. If they would make the Dayan, if they would make the Talmud Chacham stand, that might be a bizayon to kavod HaTorah. So that's why we say kavod HaTorah is adif. But once you say that it's a din in kavod for the Dayanim, it's not a din in Eidus, not a din in Gemar Din, then you understand why we could be mochel even l'chadchila in certain cases. And then when it goes further, so we say that if a person sees, or if the rabbanim of the time, in the times of the Gaonim, saw that this whole thing was leading to big machlokes, so then we're going to forego the Ikar HaDin, and we're going to tell the Dayanim, look, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, please be mochel inherently on your covenant, and we're going to allow everybody to sit. Because we're not going to get into big fights about who's a big enough Talmud Chacham to stand, who's not a big Talmud Chacham to stand. It's just not worth it. And then we find this, by the way, when going back to the mashal from getting Aliyos, we find this by a Kohen, right? Strictly speaking, if you have an individual who's a great Talmud Chacham, and you have a Kohen who's not a Talmud Chacham, so the Talmud Chacham should get the first Aliyah over the Kohen. Strictly speaking. But Shulchan Aruch says, It's not going to happen. We don't do it. We don't do it. Why? Because you can see already. you need two people to get up there and to say two very personal things. Number one, the guy has to say, "Yeah, I'm a big enough Talmud Chacham that I'm better than you, Kohen." And number two, the Kohen has to basically say, "Yeah, I'm pretty lousy, so you should probably go ahead of me." Right? It's not good form. It's not something that we're going to encourage people to get involved with. So we say, no, L'maisa, Kohen always gets the first Aliyah. We don't mess around. Right? So too, in the Beis Din, we say, this is something which is going to hit at people's kavod, it's going to hit at their core. So we say, let everybody sit. And therefore, we're not going to have to start getting into fights, who deserves kavod HaTorah, who doesn't deserve kavod HaTorah. Oh, I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham than the Dayan, and the Dayan's like, oh, you think you're a bigger Talmud Chacham than me, whatever. I went to yeshiva with you, you sat in the third row, I sat in the first row, whatever it is. It's not worth it. It's just not worth getting involved. And therefore we say, let the Dayanim be mochel inherently on their kavod, and we don't have to worry about it. Okay, so Lamaisa, yesterday, 2 days ago, I don't remember, I've had this idea for a long time, but I actually saw the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin. I'll read you the Lashon of the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, where he says pretty much this idea. Chiddush Aran is in Sanhedrin. I didn't put it on the Makoros because I didn't know about it till yesterday. So the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, Yutesim and Aleph Divra Maschil Amod, by this case of Yanai Amelech. So the Chiddush Aran, first of all, we'll get back to this, but he says, just in terms of why Reb Shimon ben Shetach told Yanai to stand up, so he says, "Va'ani Omer she'avsher Reb Shimon ta'a b'ha shelo hayalo levaisho." Maybe Reb Shimon Shetach made a mistake that he should not have told Yanai Amelech to stand up because he was embarrassing him. V'lomer she'yamar al raglav achashu melech lemaisa Yanai was a melech. So stop there for a second. First of all, you understand that Yanai, you know the relationship between Yanai and Shimon ben Shetach? They were brothers-in-law. I believe Yanai was married to Shimon ben Shetach's sister. So whatever, Yanai was not a good guy. There's a whole, they're different versions of the story. The Midrash Tanchum, I think, has a version of the story about everybody dying in the Sanhedrin, and the Gemara Sanhedrin has a version of the story, and there's different versions. And then the Gemara in Brachos talks about the Gemara in Brachos, the seventh parak, talks about Yanai Melech didn't know how to bench, and he's like, "Darn, there's no rabbis left to teach me because I killed them all." He's like feeling a little regretful that he killed all the Sanhedrin. Now there's nobody to teach him how to bench. So he says, "All right, we're going to have to bring your brother in." He says to his wife, "We're going to have to bring back your brother." And he brings in Shimon ben Shetach, and Shimon ben Shetach gives him a hard time. Whatever, he didn't learn. The fact that he killed out all of Shimon ben Shetach's colleagues didn't make him more respectful of Yanai. So whatever. Lemaisa, in the end of the day, they had a very strained relationship, and could be that that's why Shimon ben Shetach felt comfortable giving him the harsh treatment that he did. But it did not work out well it didn't work out well for the Jewish people as a whole. Right? And this also, I think that when you put together a lot of the different Gemaras and the Midrashim on the story of Yana and Shimon Shetach, you get a picture of what the Chachamim are trying to do with a lot of Agaritas. I think it's a very important yisod that a lot of times you'll see a story in Agarita. Like yesterday, I was learning with a couple of kids, and we did the Gemara in the first parak in Brachos, where there was a fellow who was davening outside of the shul and he was facing the wrong direction, and the Eliyahu Navi comes and appears to him as an Arab merchant, and he yells at him and he takes out a sword and he stabs him. So the guy's like, I don't get it. This guy's a Rasha. First of all, he's Chayv Misa for that. Second of all, he's a Rasha, and he gets to see Eliyahu Navi, and we don't get to see Eliyahu Navi. So, all right, whatever. Lemaisa, I don't claim to know all the answers, but I think that'd be a good example of, in other words, I said, keep it this way. This guy might not have known that he was seeing Eliyahu Navi. He thought he was just seeing a random act of anti-Semitism, that some Arab showed up and stabbed him. And probably that's what everybody else saw. But when Chazal looked at it, they saw, no, this was a shlichus min hashamayim, and they, for whatever reason, they attributed it to the fact that this guy did this particular aveira. Doesn't mean that if you would have looked at it through the lens of the newspaper, that's what you would have seen. You understand? That's a little bit what Rabbi Herschel was talking about, is saying when you see something, when Chazal saw mundane events, they didn't see mundane events. They saw important spiritual developments that were traceable directly to positive and negative actions that we did. Right? So that's important to keep in mind. I think it's the same thing in this case. You have Yanai HaMelech. He was directly, he killed out the Sanhedrin, right? He killed out the Sanhedrin. Why? Because he was a bad guy, right? He was one of the leftover kings from the Beis Chashmonaim, where after the Chashmonaim were already completely, they were completely corrupted at that point. And he was just a bad, bad guy. And he killed out the Sanhedrin because, for whatever reason, on a mundane level. But the Gemara understood, no. There was a reason for it, and this was the reason. There was a court case where the Sanhedrin had a chance to stand up to Yanai and to put him in his place and to say to him, you're not a Ben Torah, you're not a proper king, you don't lead us the right way, and we're going to put you in your place. And they were too scared to do it. So Chazal or Shimon Shetach, whoever it was, understood that yes, in terms of the way the mundane facts played themselves out, so it looked like just another tyrannical king killing out a bunch of rabbis. But the way he understood it, the way Shimon Shetach understood it was, no, it's directly traceable to this moment where we had a chance to do something and we didn't do it. And therefore, we were all Chayev Misa. You think Yanai HaMelech killed us? No, the Ribbono Shel Olam sent the Malach HaMavis and he killed us. Or was it Gavriel in that case? I forgot. Gavriel, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam sent the Malach and he killed us. Things don't just happen to the Sanhedrin. If something happens to the Sanhedrin, it's because something big took place in Shemayim. And it's because we deserved it, and it wasn't just some random happenstance of human nature. You know, so that's the yisod that I believe. I don't know. Again, that's a thought that I had a number of years ago. So in terms of how you understand a lot of these agaritas, when you see a lot of the different midrashim and they sometimes conflict in certain minor details, it's because they weren't sweating the details in these particular stories. They understood there was an underlying message that they were trying to give over. Is that if you need to trace why this particular historical event happened, this is the reason. This is the reason they wanted to give. All right, so just going back to this. So the Ran says, maybe Shimon Shetach was wrong for making Yanai stand up. Although the theme of the Gemara doesn't seem to be that way. I mean, that's not true. That's not true. You could read the Gemara either way. You could read the Gemara that that Shimon Shetach went way overboard, and that's why he led to the Sanhedrin being killed out. You know, or you could read it as that, no, Shimon Shetach was trying to put Yanai in his place, and his colleagues didn't go along with him. You know, I could see it either way. But Lemaisa, the Ran says he shouldn't have done it, or maybe he shouldn't have done it. Umay damra Torah de Bali Dinin Bahamada Mishum Kvod Beis Din Hu, says the Ran, it's because of the kavod of the Beis Din. V'heim Yechol and Limchol, they are able to be mochel on their kavod.
Umishim hachi amrinan dahasam ditzur b'merabbanan mosvinan leish yesh lebezin lechabdo mishim kvod Torah. That's why the Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit, because Beizin should be mechabed him because of Kavarat Torah. V'lo od ela amdarminan hasam tzur b'merabbanan v'am ha'aretz t'islehu dina b'hadei adadi ki asu kaman mosvinan le tzur b'merabbanan l'am ha'aretz nami amrinan le tov. Right? So we say to him, you can also sit, Mr. Am Ha'aretz, because we don't want to favor one over the other. Alma mishim kvod beizdin hu v'heim yechol en limchol Am Ha'aretz sheyeshev. It's all because of the kavod of the beizdin. They have the right to be mocha on their kavod, because and tell not only a Talmud Chacham can sit, even an Am Ha'aretz can sit once they're doing it because of a Talmud Chacham. So I think this is a very good beer in, you know, what we were trying to say. Again, the Ran definitely says it, but at Lechora, this is what most of the Rishonim are referring to, assuming that they don't hold it's a Chumer Midirabbanan. Okay. Problem is, does this really work for the sheet of the Yesh Omrim? Does this really work? Not really. Like, the Yesh Omrim hold, it's a din in the covet of the Beis Din, but if they did it without, meaning, look at it this way. If you say that it's a din in the kavod of the Beis Din or the Dayanim, and then the Yesh Omrim say, and if they're not mechabed the Dayanim, it's pasul. That's very hard to say. No? Why would you say such a thing? Say, there's a din, you got to give edus, and you got to do it properly. So there's a double din. You got to give edus, and you got to do it in a way that gives kavod to the people who deserve kavod. Okay, so I didn't give them kavod, but at least I gave the edus. So it's very hard to say that the whole idea is that the dayanim either cannot be mochel, or if they aren't mochel and you still do it, it's pasul mit bidyevet. Even like that's never like to have such a strange machlokas that the rov rishonim hold that the dayanim can be mocha on their kavod, and even if they weren't mochel and you did it anyway, then it's kosher b'dievet. And the minority of the rishonim say that they're allowed to be mochel on their kavod, but if they weren't mochel on their kavod and you were made, it's possible. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't know. Doesn't seem right. You hear what I'm saying? I wouldn't think that that's a great biur in the Machlokas. So in order to understand this better, let's look at the Tosfos who discusses the case of Yanai HaMelech. So we have Tosfos on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Dira Maskel She'im, right? And Rabbi Yehuda, Tosfos assumes that Rabbi Yehuda is in conflict with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Because Rabbi Yehuda said, if you want to let them sit, they can sit. Right? So Tosfos says over here, what about the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Darmalei Shimon Shetach Yanei Amora Raglecha V'yeidu Becha. What's going on over there? So we saw one answer to that. What was one answer to that? How come Yanei had to stand? Because it's V'yeidu Becha. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Shas Edus. Not only do the Eidim have to stand, but the litigants have to stand also. So it says, V'yeidu b'cha, we're going to give Eidus about you. So the Ritva says, you see that even the Bali Din have to stand, B'shasa go to say this. But Tosus doesn't seem to say that. Why did Yanai HaMelech have to stand if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're allowed to let them sit? So Asi the local Rabbi Yehuda, that Gemara is against Rabbi Yehuda. Uldi day b'shas Gemara dinhu, v'lo b'shas kabbalas edus shehu tchilas din. So he says, according to that, it's b'shas Gemara din and not b'shas godas edus, which is the tchilas din. Right. So this is also relevant when, in the terms of the edus, do we consider it the Gemara din? Right. Is it godas edus only, or is it just like when they're makabel the edim? So that was also subject to discussion amongst the Rishonim. But Lemaisa, on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Tosfos gives two answers. Tosfos gives two answers to this question. Why didn't we say that Yanai can sit? Right, the bottom Tosfos, the Seidik Vodat Torah Adif. So Tosfos says, wait a second. if we're going to let a Talmud Chacham sit, who should we definitely let sit? The king, right? The king, that's a lot of covet. And what's the big, big raya? A king is so great, he can't even be mochel on his kavod, right? A parent, the person who brought you into this world, who kept you alive for however many years, that person, you give them a lot of kavod. But they could be mochel on their kavod. A Rebbe, who brings you into the next world, says the Gemara in Kiddushin, right? You have to give him even greater kavod, Rebbe Muvok. You have to give him even greater kavod than a parent. And yet, Rav Shemachal HaKvod HaKvod HaMachal. A melech. Som tasim alech a melech shetehei maso alecha. Cannot even be mochel on his kavod. Eich yitachin, says Tosfos, that they made Yanai stand up if we say Aseid Kvod HaTorah Adif. So two answers. Answer number one, V'yesh Lomar, the shiny dine nefashos de chamire. Dine nefashos is more chamur than dine mominus. Everything we're talking about over here is dine mominus. Over there, we were talking about dine nefashos. We were talking about dine nefashos. Okay. Answer number two. This is a very interesting chiddush. You know, this is a. Once in a while, you have such a thing in Tosfos where you have like a more lamdisha shot than you would expect out of a Tosfos. Tosfos usually gives like very straightforward, you know, yasher, like straight thinking. You know, it doesn't give like touch. This is not straightforward. It's very straightforward also, but it's like has more of an achronisha tinge to it, right? He says, no. Kavod HaTorah is greater than kavod for the Malchus, right? Kavod HaTorah is greater. What are you kidding? Kavod HaTorah is greater. It's not. King can't even be mochel. It's a technicality. It's a technicality that king can't be mochel. Just because you can't be mochel on something doesn't mean that the mitzvah is greater. The mitzvah to be mechaber a Talmud Chacham is greater than the mitzvah to be mechaber a melech. Talmud Chacham can be mochel? Yeah, because it's his Torah. A melech can't be mochel because it's not his kavod to be mochel on. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you always have to be in a state of, you know, placing fear upon the people. You always have to be in a state where people are honoring you. But that doesn't mean that the amount of kavod is less. You hear? So what comes out, just as a side point, what comes out of that second answer of Tosfos is what I was saying before. We're trying to ask either party to be mochel on their kavod. Should the Talmud Chacham be mochel on his kavod? Should the Dayan be mochel on his kavod? It's not that the Dayan is being mochel on his kavod in place of the Talmud Chacham necessarily. Sounds like the second answer of Tosfos is saying everyone's kavod is omed bimkomo, and whose kavod wins? So against the Talmud Chacham, the kavod of the Talmud Chacham wins. And against the Melech, the kavod of the Dayanim wins. You hear? So therefore, Tosfos says, you got to make the king stand up. Those are the two answers of Tosfos. Just informationally, that Ran in Sanhedrin, the Chiddushi Ran on Yates, quotes B'Shem Rabbeinu David. Now, you guys know Rabbeinu David? You guys ever learn Psachim? So Rabbeinu David is a Talmud of the Ramban also, I think, and he's a very, he must have been a colleague of the Rashba, the Ritva, and he also has a lot of excellent comments. I think that's the only Masech that we have a full Rabbeinu David on. But okay, so whenever you get a chance to chop Rabbeinu David, so it's good to quote it. So Rabbeinu David says that maybe the reason is that there's an isser of lo saguru mipnei ha'ish. There's an isser when you're a judge, you're not allowed to fear the litigants. You're not supposed to be intimidated by people, right? You know, you're the judge. You're the judge. He's a big macher. He's a big veer. Too bad for him. Right? You're not supposed to be scared of anybody when you're a judge. Isser d'oraisa. But by a Talmud Chacham, you don't tell the Talmud Chacham that he can sit because you're afraid of him. You tell the Talmud Chacham that he can sit because you want to honor him. Why are you telling the king he can sit? Because you're afraid of what he can do to you. That's the whole idea. You have a pachad from him. You have an ema from him. So there's an iser. Don't be afraid of him. He says, Mashen Kane, if you have a Talmud Chacham, you're not afraid of the Talmud Chacham. You think that he deserves to be allowed to sit. You hear the difference? Very interesting chiluk. I think maybe it'll help us understand things. But just to understand Tosfos, so okay, second teretz, easy to understand. Why? It's just a question of math. What's the math? You know, I don't know what grade you're in when you start doing it, probably like third grade. You start doing greater than, less than, right? So you have, okay, so you say, Dayan is less than Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is greater than Melech. And Dayan is greater than Melech. Okay. Easy enough. So it's just a question of who deserves more kavod. Who deserves more kavod? What about the first teretz? Let me ask you a question. You get to Dinei Nefashos. So you say, you're walking down the street, and a guy passes by, right? I had a Rebbe in Keren B'Yavne who, he didn't teach in the yeshiva anymore. He lived in the yeshiva for many years. He lived on the campus. And he was a Rebbe for like 20 years. And then he became a Dayan. Eventually, by the time I was there, he was ready to Av Beis Din. He was the Av Beis Din I think the Beis Din was officially in Ashkelon, but it was of all the local areas. He was Av Beis Din. He walked around. He's wearing the Av Beis Din, it's actually a law in Israel, I think. He used to wear just like a, he was a Panovich, from old school Panovich, back in the day. Rav Binyamin Be'eri. When he was a rabbi in yeshiva, he wore like a regular suit and tie and hat. And then when he became a dayan, he put on I think it's a law, you have to wear the kapata if you're a dayan. And then when you become the abbez, then you have to wear a Hamburg. I think it's like officially the law. He would, all of a sudden he went to wearing a Hamburg and a kapata, like a real Rosh Yeshiva look. Everybody liked him anyway. He was, both a very big Talmud Chacham and also a very good speaker. So everybody liked him anyway. But when he walked by wearing the whole lavush, more prone to give somebody COVID. So let me ask you something. So you have one Dayan who walks by in the Hamburg and the Kapata, and he has a real regal look to him, and everybody stands up for him. Then the next guy walks by, same lavush, but nobody stands up. So, no, what's going on here? He only does dinim omnis. He does dinim nefashos. We stand up for him, right? Does that make any sense? You give more cover to dinim omnis, a dayan who's done dinim omnis. Oh yeah, give him a little cover. All right, fine. But a dayan who's done dinim nefashos. Ooh, amazing. First of all, there's no difference in terms of what's necessary. They have to. If you're going to be done. If you're just going to do hodos and havos, okay, inachinami. But if you're going to do dine knosis and dine, and 80% of dine momenus, you need to have real smicha for Moshe Rabbeinu anyway, or at least for the Mari Beirav. So you have to have real smicha for Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you are going to be done dine nefashos, you have to have the same smicha. There's no difference. So why am I giving more covet to a guy who's being dan dine mominus versus dine nefashos versus dine mominus? It's a little difficult to understand, no? So l'chora, you have to say a little differently in Tosfos. It's not stam a din in giving covet to the dayanim. Elamai, perhaps what Tosfos understands is that it's a din in, it's not a chiyuv covet for the dayanim like the Ran was saying. It's a chiyuv in understanding the chomer hadin. Meaning, if you're in, it's not that it's a din in hilchus edus per se, but if you're an aid, one of the most important things is we need to know that you're taking this seriously. We need to know that this is very important to you, and therefore you want to give edus, you stand up. You want to take a shvua, you stand up. You want to be a litigant, b'shas gemar din, you stand up. We want to know that this is important to you and it's chashuv and you're taking it very seriously. And therefore, because of the chomer ha'inyin, we make you stand. Okay, so dine mamanis is very chomer. We take it very seriously. But l'maisa, if we if we let certain people sit for dini mamonis, we still think they'll take it seriously enough for dini mamonis. Dini nefashis, there's an additional aspect of yitzilua eda. We're talking about a lot of differences in halacha in terms perhaps of drisha v'chakira, a lot of differences in terms of halacha, in terms of halana sadin. The Mishnayos, and you guys know probably, or a lot, you could probably list off some of the differences between dini mamonis and dini nefashis in terms of how the procedures work. Right? So now that they're dealing with an inyan that's more chomer, we don't have the right to be mochel anymore, because we need to know that you're taking this seriously enough. Masha'en ke'en, a case of kavod Torah. Right? And it could be, again, according to the first teretz of Tosfos, it could be even a Talmud Chacham can't sit. But you could argue that if the guy knows that the reason he's sitting is not because of a lack of understanding of the chomer of the inyan, not a lack of understanding of how important this is, but it's just because of a separate mitzvah, so we trust that a Talmud Chacham is going to take it seriously. We trust that a Talmud Chacham realizes what a big deal this is on his own. It's an inherent trust that we give him. Maybe that's what Tosfos is talking about. That it's not a din in the classic idea of kavod for the dayanim. It's a din that we have to give kavod to the case itself to ensure that everything's being taken very seriously. And if you say like that, so then maybe you can understand the Yesh Omrim. Right? Maybe you can understand the Yesh Omrim's shita that if they don't stand, even b'dieved, you say, what's going on here? How could you say it's a din of kavod for the dayanim? And if they don't stand, then it's pasul. No, you just say they didn't get the mitzvah, be mechaber the dayanim properly. Okay, easy enough. You say, no, it's not just about the fact that they didn't get the mitzvah. It's that, it's not about kavod for the dayanim, it's about understanding the chomer ha'inyan of what you're involved in. And therefore, says this minority view in the Rishonim, if you didn't stand, how do we even know you did your job? Part of what it means to be an aide is to take it seriously enough that you demonstrate that you mean it. Part of being a litigant is that you got to show you're taking this seriously. And therefore, you have to stand at certain times. And if you don't, we have no reason to assume that you are playing your part properly. And thus, we invalidate whatever part of the din you didn't stand for. Aye, what about all the exceptions? Yeah, the exceptions. What, a guy who's on his deathbed, or he's sick with corditis, or whatever, he can't stand up because he's not taking it seriously enough? No! Because he can't stand. Boy, guy in a wheelchair, we said yesterday, a guy in a wheelchair can't do Birkas Kohanim. Right? Not because he can't take it seriously enough, because he can't stand. Okay, part of the din is you have to stand. Right? A guy can't be an aide if he's in a wheelchair? According to this daya? No way. Of course, he's doing the best that he can. He's standing as best as he can. Right? He's showing he takes it seriously. He just can't do it. A Talmud Chacham doesn't have to stand. Why? Because they're mochel? Not because they're mochel, because there's an asay of Kavanah Torah, and l'mais, at the end of the day, the whole reason for v'am d'shnei anashim is to show that they understand the Chomer Inyan. Is someone who's a bucky in Meseches Sanhedrin, or Meseches Makkos, or Meseches Shavuos, he's not going to, he doesn't take it seriously? He takes it very seriously. You don't need to make him stand. You understand? Therefore, you can be quote-unquote mochel under those circumstances. It's not a din mechila in their kavod. It's a din that shows that it's not necessary to make the person stand under these circumstances. So perhaps this Tosfos provided a little bit of an insight into that yesod of the Yesh Omrim in the Ramban. And I think it follows nicely in terms of you can explain a lot of the different sheets. Meaning, we had a machlokas rishonim. When do the bali din have to stand? Do they have to stand b'shas agodas edus? Right. So again, is there really, is there really such a inyan of kavod to the dayanim for everybody standing b'shas go to say this? So if you say, like the Ritva himself, the Ritva l'shitasa would say, yes, it's still a din kavod for the dayanim, and everyone has to stand. Why? Because this is a ma'isa bezdin. And when we perform a ma'isa bezdin, everyone in the room has to show they're giving a lot of respect. But it's yitachin that even if you don't hold that way, even if you hold like the Yesh Omrim, you could argue that they have to stand during that time too. But you probably not. Why? Because if the Edom have to stand, why? It's to show that they understand what giving the Edus is all about and they're going to take it seriously. If the Balei Din, do they have to stand at that point? Is there really any tachlis in them standing over there? Probably not. So you could say that the Ritva who holds a din and covered for the Dayanim, you understand why the any time there's a Maisa Bezdin, it's a Chiyuv on the Balei Din to stand as well. Mashen Kain, according to Yesh Omrim, after that there's no Chiyuv on the Balei Din to stand during that time because it's about the Chomer Inyan. And therefore, there was no reason for them to stand. Okay, there's more to say, but Lemaisa, at the end of the day, that's, I think this is one way you can understand this machlokes. And just check out, if you have some time, check out the Halacha Lemaisa and the Shulchan Aruch, the Bach. He wanted to say that the whole reason they don't stand Bizman Hazeh is because we don't have Smuchim anymore. So that also, it makes a lot of sense based on the idea that it's a din in the covet for the dayanim, or even you could argue it's a din in the covet for the din itself. But Lemaisa, the Ketzos has a good raya against the Bach, where he says that who's the whole person in the Gemara, in the Hemshecha Gemara, is worried about standing and not standing? It's Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is not Rabbi Nachman, right? Rabbi Nachman came much later. So Rav Nachman didn't have smicha. So how could you say that it's a din dafka and smuchin versus not smuchin? It seems that the Gemara doesn't imply that the din changed between the times of the people who had smicha and the people who didn't have smicha. It's a hard sell, says the Ketzos. You can't really accept what the Bach is talking about. But so check it out if you get a chance to see the tomorrow. Bezra Hashem, we'll start the sugya of Eishes Chaver.